I will start by saying that the past few days of my life have been filled with experiences with people that I knew very little about. And one was Brother Justice Banwell. I thought that was an amazing time we had with him. And yesterday, Martha Evans and I and Justice Banwell went to Gadsden, Alabama, to go to the church called North Glencoe Church. I think it's North Glencoe Baptist Church. And they were having a jubilee where they have several singers and preachers for several days running. And it was very, very good. And you get to, they start showing little clips of the people that had been and people that had spoken. And you get missionaries that were talking about. They were talking about the things that they suffered and the things that they went through back home. And you start comparing it to your own life. Like Justice was talking about, if you were here Sunday, that you talked about the gasoline story, where a man give him 2 gallons of gas, and he had to have it. Where he give the woman a Bible, and then before he could get a nap finished, she brought 6 more back needing a Bible. And then Brother Stephen Curry said that he had been beaten outside of his church for preaching about Jesus Christ. And the truth is, you and I, we don't worry about those things. We just speak, and we don't necessarily worry about the consequences. And what brought it to mind was Justice and I were talking yesterday. And do you know, he can't even put his videos, if he speaks about the people of India, on YouTube for his own life safety and the safety of his people. But you and I, we get to listen to the gospel whenever someone will speak it or whenever we'll read it. But we're under no real persecution, at least not yet. And I think about the sacrifice that those men put forward for their people to bring them the name Jesus, knowing that it could cost them their life. That it's very, very possible. And I want to get started tonight with that in mind as we read from the book of Luke. We're going to start in chapter 4 with verse 16. We're going to read through 21. But this was a time when Jesus was speaking to a group of people. And he's speaking in Nazareth. And I'll start reading here. It says, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written. These are the words of Christ. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight of the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began saying to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And I read that scripture starting, it's been a little bit, and there's a lot to this. But I began to think about Justice and those people. And you listen to the words that it says. And it talks about when Jesus says some of the very specific things, like that he came to preach the good news to the poor. And he had sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. And a lot of times we'll read that and we'll think that, oh, he come to minister to poor people. Well, yes, he did come to minister to poor people. But he came to minister to the spiritually poor. Meaning, everyone. He came to bring all of us the good news. See, Jesus was speaking in a synagogue, and just for a moment, when he finished what he was saying, the whole crowd was astonished. Because when you hear those words, they sound so pleasing to the soul. Listen, what all these things he's saying. He's came to deliver us. But do you remember the very first time that somebody told you about Jesus? Y'all remember that? Raise your hand. I'm not talking about somebody just saying the word Jesus. I'm talking about tell you about him. I remember. I remember it. I remember it. It was so peaceful. But it wasn't much longer after that. I began to learn about me. And it was different. Do you remember how awesome things sounded? God loves you. Jesus loves you. Oh, yes, that sounds so good. When you found out how much God loved you, did your heart bubble? Mine did. And you found out that he wants your heart. He's looking for you. He wants everything about you. He wants it. The thing about it is, whether we accepted Jesus Christ at that time or not, everything that I just said is still true. Everything is still true. And then what happens when it gets a little fuzzy on the edges is when you find out how much Jesus loves you. But if you invite him in, if you invite him in your heart, guess what? That means he's going to change you, and things about you are going to change. Sometimes we're not comfortable with that. In fact, it's becoming less and less popular every day. It's like this. I'm saying, okay, Jesus, I know who you are and I need a Savior. But does that mean I have to make you Lord over my life too? Do I have to? Do I have to truly surrender to you? And I think that he answers this here. We can't misunderstand what he's telling us in this scripture. If you look at the very beginning of it, it said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me. In other words, he's saying, I'm the one. He said, I must tell the good news. And in Matthew 5:3, it actually references it. It says, blessed are those that are poor in spirit. But it goes on and it says, to preach the good news to the poor. And then it moves on a little farther. It says, to tell those who are captive that there is freedom in me. And that was some of the message. Part of the message they were talking about last night is, what is captive? What does captive mean? How many of you feel like you're captive? Like you're in bondage? Do you feel like that? Well, this preacher put together something, and it was not necessarily related, but he said this. He said, how many of you feel like Jesus is number one in your life? Raise your hand if you think Jesus is number one in your life. I believe that Jesus is number one in my life. Whether I like it or not, it's all about him. But this guy come forward, and I'm going to make some of you Alabama fans mad right out of the gate. All right, raise your hand if Alabama is the best college team in the nation. I didn't ask if you were a fan. I just, when you raise your hand, you're going to say, yeah, they are. If they were horrible, you'd say yes. Raise your hand if you think Georgia is a good football team. Yes. All right, and raise your hand if any other ones that you support. Shame on you. But this preacher began to talk about these college fans. You've got to understand, in the middle of Alabama, there's only two things. There's Jesus and there's college football. That's it. And he started talking about it, and he really was pumping up Alabama and Auburn, and he was getting into it. And they were eating it up. And I knew he was baiting them. He got them too. He said, look here. He said, I want you to tell me who's the best football team, just like I did. Oh, Alabama's number one. And he said, who likes Auburn? And there were some people that raised their hand. And he said, well, is it a war eagle or is it a tiger? You could tell it was a slam. It was a slam. And he said, do you know that this coming Saturday, does anybody know what this coming Saturday is? Opening day. It's a big deal. Now listen, how much do we know about it? Are you getting pumped up for the Georgia game right now? Or are you? Are you getting pumped up for the Alabama game? Okay, yeah, a little bit, yeah. You know, you'll call each other on the phone and say, hey, we got to get fired up. The football game's coming on. Like we're going to play. There'll be people in their man caves all over Georgia and Alabama on Saturday with a shirt that's two sizes too small on, hollering at the TV like, coach, put me in. I've still got eligibility. I can play the game. Look at me. I've still got it. And they think that the coach is going to call on them. They're that excited about it. And then they'll get up there. They'll get up Saturday. They'll tailgate all day long. They'll eat ribs and all kinds of food. Their belly will be swollen out to here. and they'll go inside the game, whether it's raining or not, and they'll spend an entire day watching a football game in the worst kind of weather. And then whether their team wins or whether their team loses affects the rest of the week. If they lose, you will not be able to speak to them until Wednesday. If they win, oh, it's gloat time. Ooh, Alabama won. Can you believe it? It was South Central Michigan Technical Institute, but they won. They won the game. Yes. And that guy in his man cave is still saying, yeah, they didn't need me, but there's always next year. Maybe next year they'll need me. But see, that right there is how we truly function. Think about how much you knew about a college football game and how excited you were about it. But do you get that excited about Jesus? Do you get that excited about his words? Think about what he says. I'm going to read it again. He said, I'm going to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recover the sight for the blind. Let's be real. Are we that pumped up about him? Here's the truth. If we put that much into college ball, but we don't put that much into Jesus, who's number one? It's not Jesus anymore in your life. That's just the truth. Who do you make number one? That's what matters. That's what matters. You know, there's been a lot of people coming here on Sunday. And I'm going to give the adults a break here because I believe they're probably telling the truth on this. And y'all laugh in a minute. But you guys will come down the aisle and y'all be moping like this. Y'all moping down the aisle. Hey, how are you? I'm tired. Tired? You're 14. How tired can you be? How tired can you be? Oh, I stayed up all night for two nights. I had some friends over, and I'm wore out. I'm just leave me alone. I'm going to go sit down. They'll go over there and sit down. And you look, and here comes another one. That was the one they were spending the night with. And they'll sit over here. Now, if an adult says that, they're probably really are tired. But the truth is, when we come into God's house, this is my mindset. This is what I'm looking for. When I come through that door, I want to be different when I walk back out that door. Jesus says, I'm coming to bring the good news. I'm coming to give you sight. I want you to know what is wrong and what is right, and I want you to have the ability to look at it, and I'm bringing that. I have it. I'm the one. But I got to be number one. I've got to be number one in order for that to happen. I've walked through a set of doors like that too many times and turned around and left with the same attitude and mindset as when I come in. That's not the goal. That's not what he's saying. He said, I've given you everything that there is to free you from those things that put a barrier between you and me. All you have to do is accept it. You don't do nothing. Just believe it's true. Because when you believe it's true, then you'll change. I heard Brother Joe say something to Celebrate Recovery one time that was really good. He said, when you really want to change, you'll want to change. You'll come on down here. When you're ready for it, you'll do it. When you're ready for Jesus to be Lord of your life, he'll be Lord of your life. You'll come on down. Jesus even tells them, if you move on down to verse 21, it says, today the scripture is fulfilled. In your hearing. In other words, I told you I was going to come speak to you and tell you, and them people heard it. Now it's fulfilled. But now the question is, now that we know what he's here for and what he's came to do, what are we going to do? What will we do now that we know? And we heard Stephen Curry, not Stephen Curry. Luke still thinks that's a basketball player. That he talked about putting God up on a shelf. In other words, Sunday morning, yes, coming here tired or not, God is God. I'm excited. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to worship the Lord, but I'm going to walk out them doors just like I walked in. And when I get outside, I'm going to live Monday all the way to Wednesday afternoon, same as I did. And then Wednesday, I'm going to go back in them doors. And that's the God of Wednesday. And then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I'm back to me again. I'm all the way back to the beginning. Sunday, I'm going to start the process over. It's like this. Lord, I need you right here, so I'm going to bring you down. We're going to fellowship together. But the rest of my life, I'm not going to use you. I'm just going to use you right there. How about that Alabama football game? You're an Alabama fan 100% of the time, right? Well, you're a Georgia fan, so that don't count. But in John 14:6, Jesus says, and this is a very common scripture we know, it says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And what does he say, I am the way? There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. He says, I am the truth. There's only one truth, and that's his truth. And then there's the life. And you say, what do you mean by I am the life? You hear preachers talk about saying, they say stuff like this, say, the Lord will be, Jesus will be Lord over your life if you'll let him. And I think that means this right here. Jesus will be Lord over your life if you give him a life to work with. He's not going to force his way into your life and sort everything out. You got to give it to him and let him sort it out himself. So we've heard these words over and over and over again. And the problem is, one problem, my earpiece won't stay on. The problem is, what have we done with it? We've come in the doors and went right back out the doors in the same fashion. See, the Lord has to have surrender from you. You've got to be willing to say, Lord, this is about you. This ain't about no football game. And you say, well, Lord, what is it that's keeping me from you? Search me, God. Find it. You know, there's some people that they really enjoy church on Sunday. But there's things that are more important. That's just the truth. If you find that you've missed 12 Sundays in a row and you're playing a ball game, that might be an issue. There's something between you and God at that point. If you've got a TV show that you want to watch, and it's really good, and I can't stop watching it. I can't get to church. I can't stop watching it. You've put something between you and God. Jesus said, I am the life. You got to give him yours to work with. See, in the Old Testament, you know, the word sacrifice was used a lot. And I've been reading a bunch of stuff about Aaron and about Moses and about altars. And I'll be honest, it's a lot of information. And it's hard to remember it all, of knowing what exactly. I can't even remember all the processes, but it's very, very specific. God wanted something very specific. And they would sacrifice animals. And they had to be an innocent animal, a perfect animal, had to be cut in a certain way. And certain body parts had to be kept here. And different bloods from the animal had to be kept here. And they had to be put on the altar at the right spot. But when Jesus came along, that ended. He was the sacrifice. But that doesn't mean that we can't talk about our sacrifice to him right here. Right here. Go to an altar and say something like this. Lord, I'm going to give you me. Ooh. All of me. The good and the bad. I'm going to give it all to you. And Lord, you sort it out however you want to. Whatever's going to bring you glory, I'll do. That's different. That's different. You know, people, this, I want to leave different than I come in. That's not new. You know, even people in the Old Testament, when they talk about fasting and they would say stuff like this, like, Lord, I'm not going to eat a thing until I find you. Think about that kind of dedication. Lord, I'm not going to change anything until I find you. I'm going to search for you. I'm going to look for you. And I want you. And I'm willing to suffer until I find you. Is that the attitude that we have today? Because that's what it's going to take. That's the difference. That's the difference. And you may think in your mind, well, that's a great idea, Alan. Maybe one day I'll do that. Why not right now? What's different about today than tomorrow? See, I'm tired of walking through the doors and coming in here with the attitude, well, I'm at church. I'm going to look like the right way. I'm going to act the right way. I'm going to shake everybody's hand. I'm going to smile. I'm going to go sit in my spot. When they want me to stand, I'll stand. When they want me to sit, I'll sit. I'll eat food. I'll do all those things. But when am I going to worship the Lord and ask Him to change me? When am I going to bow down at an altar and say, God, infiltrate my heart and fix the things that are wrong with it. Free me. Give me sight. Show me how I can honor you. That's what's going to matter. That's what's going to shape the rest of our lives. In just a few moments, Chris is going to play that same exact song that we stopped with. We're going to have another opportunity to come back to an altar, to start over, to leave different than we came. And you know, another thing, the Lord is not going to bother you if it's a bother. The Lord's not going to speak if you're not His. Do you understand what I mean? Sometimes people say, well, I don't ever hear the Lord speak to me. I just go about my day all day long. I don't ever hear Him speak to me. Well, are you His child? Have you ever been saved? Well, I said some words one time. Well, it's more than that. Do you believe it in your heart? You want the Lord to talk to you? You talk to Him. You want the Lord to be Lord of your life? We got to talk to Him. Now let's stand up. Let's get ready for the end of this service. If God has spoken to you, the best way you can honor Him is to just talk to Him. Bring it before Him. Say, Lord, I know You're speaking to me. Lord, I want to talk back. Lord, I want to hear You. I know that You come to free me. You give everything You possibly could for my soul. And Lord, I love You, and I know You love me. And I want to live a life for You. It can start today. It can be a real thing today. We can leave them doors different than we walked in.